Michael Fagan.
And I'm Steve Ball.
And you're listening to Scribble. Well, what a great week it's been. What have you been up to, Steve? Anything good?
I've been working hard this week, unfortunately.
Oh, I can see the sweat on your brow there,
absolutely,
my friend.
Absolutely.
Well, we've got a great lineup for tonight's programme. We've got somewhere in the region of about 18, 19 poets to cover. So there's no Meet the Poet this week because we've not quite got time to do that on this occasion. Plus, the fact I've been flying all over the world. We've been to Berlin, we've been to Minnesota, we've been to Lancashire.
Absolutely.
So we've been all over the place. And next stop, we'd like to go to India, I think. I think India would be a nice stop. We'll maybe do that in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
So this week's all down to the poets. And we've got some great news kicking around and some great new poets coming on the programme. We've also got a team from Poets Dream on Google Plus now. Yeah, which is really good. A lot of the guys that we engage with tend to be off the internet. In Facebook or posting stuff or emailing us poetry in, and we're actually on Google Plus as well, and one of the teams up there, one of the communities, Poet Stream, said, hey, why don't you cover some of our poets? Well, why not?
So we're working community
now. Oh yeah, really, really good community. I think it's not about the size of the community, it's more about the quality of the work that's in there.
Yeah.
And they've got some great poets that that work with them. So we're working in collaboration with Poet Stream as well on this program.
Great.
So we're going to kick this off with a piece now, which is going to blow your mind. It really is. I'm big build up this, isn't it, for this piece. It better be good. So I've listened to this piece in rehearsals, and it is an absolutely cracking piece of poetry. The words on it are superb. And one of our team, AJ, decided that he wanted to record this, and he's been a bit clever with his production.
Okay.
So the production on this is absolutely stunning.
It's going to pause under pressure.
Oh, sure, I'm such a go-go. So this is by a guy by the name of Warren C. Dennison. It's called Solemn Raven. And as I say, AJ, one of the team members, wanted to record it. And it goes like this.
And in the dawn of early morn, before the sun does rise, stand silhouettes of claymores and the sound of wounded cries. The fog floats across the moor as the priest gives final rites. The flags of victors wave as shadows and fires light. A single drop of blood falls from my heavy sword. Bagpipes fill the night with echoes of each chord. The stench of death surrounds me, and in my mind is graven fear in the eyes of the fallen and the call of the solemn raven.
That's
top class production and a top class poet.
It is. That was just absolutely incredible. Every week we look for a great start to the program, and this week the poem by Warren C. Dennison is absolutely stunning, and AJ's done a brilliant job on it, so thanks for recording that for Warren. So I hope you like the way we treated that, Warren, because I know that you're listening into the program.
You know what I liked as well, Neil, it wasn't like a steady delivery.
Yeah,
it sort of up and down, just to emphasise things.
Yeah, just to let the music peak, and then it just built up the tension, and that's what the poem does. You know, I've read the poem, and the poem does do that. It builds up the tension of it, so I thought it was a cracking way to start a programme.
The standard goes up every week.
It does. You know, we've had Veritable Feasts, we've had banquets, you name it, we've had them. And today, it's just a cornucopia of great poetry.
That's a big word for you.
Yeah, it is a bit. Yeah, I must have swallowed a dictionary before it came out tonight. So what a way to start the programme. So before we move on to the next one, we don't do any advertising on this program, but on this occasion, I'm going to do this. There's a team of guys who've done a collaboration book called Moonlight Dreamers of Yellow Haze, and it's a collaboration of poetry. And it's done by a gentleman by the name of Michael Lee Johnson, and he's going to be on the show in future months. Future weeks, in fact, and a guy called Ken Allen Dronsfield, who's on the show tonight. I've actually voiced something for him. And we've got lots of the poets that we cover who are actually in this book. So what we're going to do at the end of the program and in the show notes, we're going to put how you can actually go and buy this book, because the more we support poetry and publication, the better.
Yes.
So we're going to do that. So if for anybody who's listening, if you're doing a poetry collaboration and you want someone to cover your book and let everybody know that it's out there, let us know. If you let us know at Scribble, we'll make sure that we give it a shout out on the programme. I think it's the right thing to do.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Spreading the word.
Yeah.
Is that book available now?
It is. It's available on Amazon now. Put it in the show notes so people can click on it and go straight to where the book is. So which will be really good. Now, so that was a great start to the show. Now, a guy that I know by the name of Andy Clark, who's a great poet, he's had a couple of books published. He's what I call the parody poet, and he does these famous poems and he just changes them ever so slightly. And I've got one of them lined up now, and I spoke to Andy early in the week and he said, great, he said, if you can use them, crack on, because he enjoys them, they're a bit of fun. And he's done this one, it's called Dandelions.
I wandered slowly in a crowd, mulling o'er all life's great science, my thoughts of which are much avowed, a florist with golden dandelions. Beside the lake and with a wheeze I stop and stand as if to sneeze, for oft, when on my walk I take, in vacant or in pensive teaser, the flash upon that inward makes the bliss of being an old geezer, and lo, my heart with pleasure siren, and dances with the dandelions.
I just love that.
Yeah. Because you've got to mention.
Yeah, the old geezer.
The old geezer.
I think it's just a great piece, and Andy's done tens and tens and tens of these parody poems, and we'll be covering them on a regular basis, yeah, on the programme, because it just makes me smile.
Very clever.
It is. It's just really good the way he puts them together. So we've had this great dramatic start to the programme and then a bit of fun,
yeah,
dropped in as well. So I just thought it was a really good way of starting the programme off today. Now, we've got lots of poets on the show, people far too numerous to mention. As I said before, there's probably about 18 or 19 poets on the programme. But when we did this collaboration with Poets Dreams on Google Plus, that's the one, yeah, we made an agreement that what we'd do is we'd profile at least three of their poets every week. So we've created a special section called Poets Dream, and this is the section, Poets Dream. And we've got three great pieces here, one by a lady by the name of Chris Frazier, then The Pirate and the Honey Trap by Gary Spooner, and then a bit of a fun bit called by Paul Chapman, which is called I've Got Fairies of the Bottom of My Garden. They're all part of Poet's Dream, these guys.
I can imagine what might be coming.
Yes, right. So have a look to listen to Chris Frazier's first.
Okay.
Now, Emma's, one of our team, has actually voiced this for us, so I hope you like it, Chris.
I pray, let me sleep, gaining renewal. Rest brings to body, mind, and soul. Let me lose all thought, all confusion, sadness. Place them with dreams to cherish. Stop insomnia's madness. I've been awake far too long. For too many hours, weary, bleary, my eyes must now close. Blind to my sorrows, I pray. This nightly review, let me sleep, let me dream. Grant me rest and the peace to renew.
I thought that was a cracking poem, man. It was a good way. It was the first one that Poets Dream sent through to us, and I thought, you know what? We need that one on the programme.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good quality.
Is that an international community here?
It is, an international community. If you go on there, there's people from all over the world who are members of Poets Dream. There's people from South Africa, people from America, people from the UK. It's all over. It's a great group. Yeah. And there's some really good voice poets on there as well, not only written word poets. The guys that do the written words, great. You know, we can voice them for you. But they've got some really good voice poets on there as well. So we're going to profile some of them. And the next one coming up is a guy by the name of Gary Spooner. He was on the show last week. But he did this piece called The Pirate and the Honey Trap. And I think this is a really good piece as well. I've listened to this, Steve. See what you think.
The Pirate and the Honey Trap by Gary Spooner. I am a renegade seaman, a sailor of fortune I be. My home, she lies in anchor, in a cove by the side of the sea. I step into an alehouse, the innkeeper winks at me. Name your poison, sea dog, what'll your pleasure be? A jug of your finest ale, my friend, and a comely wench for me. The innkeeper's daughter sauntered in and sat herself down on my knee, pressed her bosom against my flesh, and swooned at the strength of my tree. For many months I'd been at sea, no womanly company. So to her chamber we stole away, anticipated pleasure. She showed me all her precious things, I plundered all her treasure. Gentle lapping waves at first, and a spark of almost touching, while forces from within cave in, the rain began its dousing. The tide has turned, the outcome set, wave after wave drenching wet. A storm now brewing, breakers swell, spewing froth and foam and life as well. And after the storm, quiet. The dimly lit chamber, sweat bodies and a scent of spent lust permeates the room, and unbeknownst to either, a rose begins to bloom. Passion spent, a commotion from downstairs, my fate is sealed. The press gangs wait in ambush, with cudgels raised in anger. Hand them over, where is he? We've marked him as a hanger. So in the morning I shall dwell, from noose secure on gallows. Remember me and weep a while, no grave for me too shallow. My last repast, a haunch of beef, courtesy of the Navy. But when it's done and dusted, don't forget my watery gravy.
That's a good piece, though.
I've got one thing to say for that, Neil.
Yeah.
Ah, Jim,
I got you there. It's quite interesting because Gary said, oh, if there's anybody who could do better than me with a pirate accent, I thought, you've got no chance, mate.
No.
You're going to have to do it yourself.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, really good. So that moves us now on to the last one for the Poets Dream team. This one was one I mentioned, which was Paul Chapman. I've got fairies at the bottom of my garden. And when I first saw it, and I thought, hold on, what's this all about then? What's this geezer talking about? You'll find out in a minute. Have a listen to this.
I've got fairies at the bottom of my garden. Well, that is what I believe. I've never actually seen them, but only the rubbish that they leave. I found bike frames in the rose beds, and the odd car tire or two, and underneath the hawthorn hedge, I found a makeshift loo. They leave me little presents among the flowers and grass, empty vodka bottles and bits of broken glass. The police cannot do anything, as human rights hold sway. No matter what I have to say, they will not go away. All my neighbours have been robbed. It's my fairies, they believe. But perhaps they are not fairies, but a gang of drunken thieves.
That's great, because the title, but when I first saw the title and I thought, what's this about then? I've got fairies in the bottom of my garden. But as you get into it, it's a lot better. Yeah. You start listening to it, living in vodka bottles and broken glass.
Yeah,
it's a classic.
You imagine something different, don't you?
You do, the title suggests that, hold on, we're going to have a flight of fantasy here, but the reality is he's talking about these thieving little tykes who end up robbing people. But so I thought it was a great piece.
We live at the bottom of most people's gardens.
Yeah, well, they live at the bottom of my garden, that is for sure. Keep on breaking into my shed. So now we're moving on to a lady by the name of Blank Verse. Now, this is really interesting, this. So we had to have this voice for Blank Verse because I got into conversation with her and she said, I think this needs to be voiced by a man, first of all. And having read it, I thought, yeah, probably right. You know, she wrote it, she'll have a good feel for it. Our team member voiced this for her. It's called Anarchy of Peace by Blank Verse.
And the creation is moving westward, losing pieces of time. Once I believed the elements conspire for lovers' secret meet. Now they seem to be accepting my well-received tragedy. Celestial will soon endow me in the palace of petrichor clay. My abode will be moistened eternally with tears from the Garden of Eden. I wish I could see the echoes beckoning from the other shore of valley, asking me to receive cascading, whelming reviews of beloved's pining heart. Make it happen to pass by my ruins for the glimpse of miracle of love. My detached roots will be breathing by the winds of passion. I will allow you to ornate your palace with shattered pieces of your artisan. Just leave one promise on gravestone. You will name it Anarchy of Peace from both the worlds.
What a nice piece that.
I enjoyed that, Neil. But I tell you, I always wonder whether the person who wrote it would read it differently.
Yeah, that's always the interesting bit, that, isn't it?
Yeah, I know it's not everybody's bag.
Yeah.
But you just wonder, don't you?
You do, yeah. And
does it sound like it was written?
Yeah, that's right. Because when you and I write poetry, we write it with our voices in our heads, don't we? So,
exactly.
So you write your verse, and you know exactly where your intonation is and how it's going to work.
Yeah.
And I think that's always the tricky bit when we're reading somebody else's poetry, is getting the intonation right for them. So let's hope that we did a really good job for that blank verse. Oh, beautiful set of words. And I think I've got to say at this point is I hate AJ because I've got this girly voice on steroids and he's got this very Morgan Freeman type voice which really comes across well on some of the poetry.
Could be worse, dude. It could sound like me, Johnny Vegas. I've been trying to soften my voice on a diet of fish paste and fisherman's friends. But it's not worked.
But I think the way that was produced then, it really brought that piece to life.
Yeah,
it was
a
great piece. So thanks very much. I'm going to call you Blank Verse because I don't know what your real name is. That's your nom de plume. That's your pen name. And we'll stick with that.
Yeah.
Really good piece, that.
And the music works in the background again.
It did. You know, I think it does.
I think atmosphere.
Yeah, it does. It makes everything, just brings it that depth and makes it just... It just gives it that depth. That's all I can say, really. So we're going to move on to a lady by the name of Essie Yankee. Now, Essie's been on the programme a number of times because she's running this programme of helping people who've suffered from domestic violence or violence of some sort. And she wrote this piece called After I Found the Fear. I said that I'd broadcast it this week because I think it's an important thing to do. And it's a really good piece, the way she's put it together.
I'm looking forward to this because she was on the show last time I was on the show.
She was,
I can particularly remember it. So.
Yeah, so she's got a very distinctive voice. So let's have a listen to what Essie's written here.
After I found the fear, I laid there catching shallow breaths, waiting for my chest to rest and nerves to settle. They didn't. I was scared out of my mind into darkness, lost in time, no tense, no sense. Intense. Here I am again. I frantically seek for light which I will never find. A fruitless task. Something like the Holy Grail. I will surely only ever fail in my quest for a restful soul. This timeline in my mind is old. It autoplays scenes I cannot seem to delete. Full colour, HD, 3D memories. I try to quickly flick past the horror, but it is an impossible task. I can't fast forward. I've seen this scene a thousand times behind closed eyes in fear-filled sleep, for the Sandman plans some wicked dreams. and even though I know this scene, I cannot seem to stop it. My words drift into cold air. My voice is vapour. Wake up, Ace, I say, but I cannot hear me. I can only see my frightened, freckled face reflected in a tarnished looking glass. That's how it starts. It's cold. It's dark, and although I try with all my might, I cannot move. I cannot fight. I cannot cry. As the glass reflects a tiny light, I stumble on a stalagmite, piercing upwards to the sky, a sculptured spear of soulful ice. I follow an endless, jagged, teeth-like path of shards of glass with shattered peaks, broken by suspended ice, sliced neatly by some stalactites as sharp as knives. This can't be real. This can't be right. This can't be life. I fall into the starry night. If I was strong, then I could fly, but I descend into the dark and wind upon a tree-lined path. The shadows dance to broken hearts, the echoes roam like reapers. I'm running now. I'm stumbling, it's hard to find my feet, because I'm scared, and I'm weak, and I can hear the shadows speak as I reach what seems to be a rocky beach. I see an icy lake. I stand and wait in fear of fate, I wait for the waters to take me. I try to walk away, but I cannot. My feet are frozen blocks, I'm trapped. I cannot stop the waves. I look up to the moon and beg her to help me. I plead, I fight, I cry to be saved. My tears freeze as I slowly slip into the blue. Lost in a lagoon, I'm drowning in the deep, and there's nothing I can do but wait for fate to take me. The only thing left is fear. I cannot move. I cannot fight. I cannot cry. I dare not even try. I just let it go. Inhale H2O. My body's filled with light now, so I will never know what happened in the darkness or even after light. I only wake again to dream and fear another night.
That's crying.
I think when we started the show, Neil, you said to me we can't have favourites, so... But if I could have a favourite, I thought that was excellent.
It was a superb.
And I love all the works that we've heard on the show so far.
Yeah. And there's been some incredible... You know, I'm staggered every week at the quality of the work that we get sent through.
It is.
Yeah, it's like when you listen to that and you hear the way the words just suddenly... There's probably four or five words all suddenly...
Yeah.
Put together, and the way that they actually run, the run of the words are the things that, yeah, it really sort of switches you on, and you think, wow, this is incredible. So, great piece that. So, no doubt we'll be covering Essie on a regular basis.
Well, because,
yeah, because the work she produces is absolutely stunning. As is everybody's.
By a wide audience.
Yes, absolutely. As does everybody's, because the actual quality of the work that we're getting through is outstanding. So thanks to all you scribblers out there who are spending your time writing poetry and submitting it to the show, because it's just a great platform for us to broadcast your work. But it's better than working for a living this thing, isn't it?
Well, it's just a privilege, isn't it?
It is, really.
You know, we sit and we say a few things, have a bit of banter, but we're listening to quality poetry.
Oh, yeah.
For an hour every week.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that.
It's coming to us.
It is. It's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it.
I'll persevere.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
I'm only doing it for you.
Yeah, I know. You're such a hero.
Because I don't get paid. My tea's gone cold.
So if you catch your mind back, I interviewed Jen Walls out in St. Paul's, Minnesota, and she's a great poet as well. So we're going to do a piece of hers, and it's a Kubli poem, because we do this Kubli group of...
Is that where you get a word?
Yeah, you get two words and you've got to create a poem on it. And Jen produced this on one of the Kubli poems, and I thought this was really good for us to broadcast. So have a listen to this.
Do you know what the word is, though?
I can't remember.
Oh, come on, that's
not very helpful. Yeah. Absolutely useless. But yeah. Let's give it a go anyway.
Faithful Kindness, a Kubli poem by Jen Wall. Unfold caresses, dewdrops, love sun gaze, goddess. Grow kind, universal mind. Spark kiss, weave gold light. Flutter within, angel wings. Tend love seeds, blossom. Burst through dark soils to light. Extend, reach new heights. lift into unknown beyond. Open love heartbeats, blend soul, exquisite oneness, flow breaths, be present. Come a flare, dare to be free, touch kiss on vastness, fire heart intimately. Sail true, seven seas, quaver ecstasy fulfilled, billow playfulness, encourage earth's peace, pour heart sunlit waterfalls, enlighten joy's forest, shine, grow beauty blossoms, bless all, immortal heart bliss, live thankful kindness.
You know, Jen Walls is going to be the happiest person I have ever, ever, ever met.
From Minnesota.
From Minnesota. She's brilliant. So we played that for you, Jen. I hope you liked it. It was just a big thank you from us on the team for all the support that you give us as well. But a cracking piece, that. Really good. So I got in conversation with a lady by the name of Karen King. Karen's been on the programme a couple of times.
Yeah.
And in fact, last week we did Feathered Crane by poet Peter E, who'd won her competition. And during the week, she wrote this piece about the Bovington Strangler. Now, I vaguely remember this, around about the 70s, this. And because my dad's an ex-policeman, and although we were up in Manchester, I remember at the time him coming home and regaling us with tales of all these atrocities that were going on around the UK, because you never saw it in the TV and the press in those days, because it wasn't quite as quick. And I vaguely remembered him talking about the Bovington Strangler, because it kind of stuck in my head.
Well, these are the bedside stories.
And then he took me up safely at night and said, sleep well. Not much chance for that.
Leave the lights on, please.
That's fine. Karen wrote this bit about the Bovington Strangler, and I thought it's just one of those things I've got to play, so I'm going to play it. Have a listen.
Hello everyone, this is Karen from Dunstable, Bedfordshire, England. This poem is taken from the King's Collection of Poems and Short Stories, which is my latest book. It's about a man who ends up in Bovington Prison, which is about 15 miles away from where I live, and the event happened in the 1970s. And it's all rather gruesome, so here's my poem about it. The Bovington Prisoner. Would you like a cup of tea? Just ensure it's prepared properly. You might feel sick, your fingertips numb. Your stomach might cramp, you might succumb. You might lose weight, you might lose hair. You might start seeing things that aren't there. Fred Biggs went to hospital for tropical diseases, but no contamination found in the factory premises. If not contamination by heavy metal, why were people falling like petals? Graham Young was an expert of toxicology. The police were called in to question his psychology. He had poisoned his brother, sister and school friend. They had survived, their bodies had decided to mend. Poisoned from the school lab, he placed in soft drinks. Known as the Mad Professor, he was on the brink. Although meant to serve 15 years at Broadmoor, he only served 8, then worked in the local store. His boss questioned him about the gap in his history, not realising of his darkness and depravity. His boss became suspicious. Police went to his bedsit. They found thallium in his pocket for his final exit. A diary of photos of Hitler scattered like litter. Deaths listed from his poison, which was so bitter. He was sent to Bovington Prison, and there he did stay, until he was sent to Parkhurst Prison in his final days. Sometime after his death, his body brought above ground and traces of thallium were found. The police went to Neasden Library, where he'd examined books. Man's preoccupation with death, he'd given many looks. In 1972, he was charged with the death of 2, many attempted murders. How many suffered? Who knew? I hope you enjoyed that tale. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, so I got it wrong slightly. It's not the Bovington Strangler. I was getting that mixed up with the Boston Strangler, because it's an age thing. I just get things mixed up every now and again. But it was about the The guy in Bovington who was poisoning people. Yeah. And I do vaguely remember my old fella talking about this, but it was cracking the way she put it together, because that is exactly what happened
yeah.
in the story. So
first really poem I've ever heard with the word toxicology in.
Yeah, that's right. It takes a bit to actually wrap that into a
absolutely.
Poem, doesn't it? Yeah, so well done, Karen.
Yeah.
Brilliant piece. Right, moving slightly along and off on a tangent now, we're moving to a lady by the name of Melissa Stein. And she's really is a great poet, this lady. She's you see a lot of her work on Facebook, really good work. And I contacted her and said, can we use one of your pieces? And she said, yeah, sure. Tell you what I'll do. I'll record this for you. So have a listen to this, Steve.
Love is not blind. I see your fragile heart. It has a mirror. It shines. A reflection of all the love you hold within. Your depth, warmth, kindness, compassion, tenderness, craziness, irrationality, softness, beauty, essence. So why is there a lock placed on the inside to keep lovers outside, thus preventing them embracing those fearful parts you hide? Fear of being discovered for who we truly are, the anger, fear, loneliness, insecurity, hatred, jealousy, greed, lust, neediness, confusion, desire, control, hurt, all those unresolved hurt, the open wounds that never heal, painful rawness, thus preventing love surreal. How does love truly feel? Authentic? Unconditional? Love will not judge those nasty bits, or control the unknown parts, nor criticize, manipulate, discern the sides of you that repulse only you. The ugly faces in the mirror, the internalized taunts that never, ever, ever leave you alone. Let me learn to love your monsters and your demons, alongside your angelic smile. Allow me to be your mirror. Look inside my heart for a while. Rest your fearful avoidance inside your own loving heart. Through self-acceptance, self-compassion, self-love, there will grow a different understanding, a deeper connectedness, a knowing, an awakening. For it is not love you fear, but the death of love, the meaninglessness of infatuation, the hopelessness of unrequited love, the loneliness of dependency, empty hollow of self-loathing. None of these are pure love. Once we can learn to remove the egotistical desires of lustful love, the ownership of others, the fear of abandonment, the death of self, then we are ready to connect to the pure essence of universal love. We'll know its true meaning through the death of ourself, concepts, beliefs, misunderstanding. We will rise to a higher plane. We will connect with the whole. We will become what is love.
There you go. What is love? Melissa's time.
Yeah, well, I think it's good to hear Melissa speak, because I know she's well published, I believe, now.
Yeah, she is.
So it's
yeah.
nice to hear her read one of the poems on our show.
It is, I think. So thanks very much for that, Melissa.
Yeah,
it's great for you to record that, and it's great for us to be able to broadcast it. It's a brilliant piece. So I really like that, and hopefully she'll supply us with some more.
Hopefully
she'll go forward, which would be great.
Well, she's crossed the line now.
She has, she's passed to the dark side.
Yes,
she joined the Scribble Show. Talking of scribblers, the next man up is a guy by the name of Alex Maxwell. Alex runs the Cubally Group that I'm very privileged to be part of. And it's very difficult to get Alex to actually record any of this stuff. I've interviewed him, he's got a great voice. And he's always a bit reticent about actually recording any of his stuff, but talked him into it, and he supplied us with this piece called The Skin Itches by Alex Maxwell, and it's great.
Is this a Kubli poem?
No, it's not. It's not one of the Kubli poems, but it's one, because he's well published, is Alex. He does a lot of work in the poetry circles. And this is one of the pieces that he wrote a while ago. And it's such a nice piece that I thought it'd be good if he recorded it so we could play it. So I'd like to see what you think of this, okay. Steve.
This skin itches, these clothes, shoes, entangled, full of stitches. An imposter, a fake, a fraud, deceived, detested, tormented, desperately seeking a sign, a lamp, a displaced postcard requiring a stamp, blindly stumbling in the dark, concealed, confused, crushed, stark. Who am I supposed to be? Unable to imitate my journey, my soul, me. Son to my father and mother, brother, human, worker, slave, other. Morally correct, culturally sound, entwined in grief, heave hell bound. Don't look, don't walk, don't run. Listen, don't, have any fun. Or what, a savage resembled, uncontrolled, demented, fearless, or rather like you, disassembled, keeping step with subjectiveness. Breathe, do what you're told, so long as you do not grow bold. Is infallibility so potent? It's intolerable to exist content, content with the steps which I pen, may not descend upon your perceived dead end. The echo in the mirror, it's not me, but my learned imitation of you. The flaws I possess, which you shamelessly detest, are not mine, but yours, I do confess. This Skin Itches by Alexander Maxwell.
You know what I like about that? I like the way the words run. It's a bit like I was saying with Essie Yankee, you know, the fact that they tie all these words together and it's just the way they run and make sense. That's what I really like about
it. Yeah, I like the flow of it, Neil. I must say that, if I'm honest, I'm still trying to work out what it's about. I've not quite, I don't know if you've got thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's one of those poems that you've got to listen to on a number of occasions, you know, keep on listening back to it and you get it. And a lot of Alex's work is like that. And it clicks, you know, eventually, but if you've listened to it two or three times, in fact, in the interview he said it's a bit like listening to some of the great poets' work, and then you read it the first time, you think, what was that about then?
Yeah.
But then you read it again, and you go, oh, hold on a minute, I got it. And that's the same with Alex, and you listen to it a couple of times, and you go, right, I've got it, I know exactly where it's coming from on that. So thanks for doing that, Alex.
Great flow.
And we look forward to receiving more, so get your voice recorder ready, Alex. That's right. Now, I mentioned Ken Alan Dronsfield earlier on with regards to the book, the collaboration book that's just been produced, because he was one of the guys who helped put it together with Michael Lee Johnson. And he's quite a highly published poet as well. And he wrote this piece called Ode to Richard III. And he didn't want to voice it. He said, can you get one of your team to voice it? So I was a bit selfish, actually. I thought, I'll voice it. Even though I've got a bit of a girly voice, I thought it'd be quite good for this to do this. I really enjoyed voicing this piece. Have a listen to it. Of Sky and Blood, an ode to King Richard III. Temperance of valour, greet me with shame, steal away with a sword from my leather baldric. Grant me a final wish before ending my life. Place me upon a throne with defiant sufferance, whilst falling in battle on a muddy, bloody field. Although devout of faith, who shall pray for me? Will your great God above grant forgiveness for my sinful, murderous contempt? I am a warrior, not a priest, tiller of soil, nor a follower guided along pious paths. Never forget that haunted shrill of the battlefield cry. Proclaim your righteous virtue, sing your victory song as sky and blood drain from my pallid eyes. As the sounds are muffled and indistinct, I am suddenly renewed, feeling a rebirth, if only in an eternal dream.
I
really like that.
I I was well read, Neil, but I bet the listeners don't know that I can play the lute.
Well, there you go. They do now. Excellent piece.
It was an excellent piece.
It was. But the writing on it was just superb. And when he said, can somebody else read it, I thought, you know what? This is too good to mess up this, so I'm going to give this a go.
I think you were holding back a bit, Neil, because I was waiting for you to get into your rhythm.
Yeah, I did.
Just hear it at the beginning, you sort of calmed yourself.
Yeah, I did. I had to calm myself down with it because it was just a fascinating piece. So thanks very much, Ken, for sending that in. And send as much in as you can, because we'd love to cover it on the programme. Now, I spoke to you about this before we came on air, about Marianne Finch, and she's written this poem about the fascinating tale of Noah.
Yes.
You're going to love this. Good. So pin your ears back.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this since you mentioned it, Neil. So
here we go.
The fascinating tale of Noah's Ark. Hey, Noah, it's still raining, called out his faithful wife. Oh, do stop your complaining, give over, get a life. This weather's bad enough to bear without you getting in my hair. This basement's very, very damp. I'm tempted to say feck it. That doesn't help that I'm fighting the fight with a hole in the damn bucket. The days the rain persisted, 'twas a muddy sea. No storm like this was listed on the Weather Channel or CBC. On a Monday morning, Noah was eating his lunch of choice when he heard a sound that could only be, can't be, it was, God's voice. Listen carefully, Noah, said the voice of his Lord. I need to ask you to do a task for me, stop you getting bored. This rain is getting worse, it's getting on my nerves. I want you to build a massive ark, all mankind you will serve. But God, answered Noah, I am but a simple man. I don't know how to build a boat. Can't you ask someone who can? Oh, come on, Noah, said the Lord. You are the chosen one. Get your butt to B&Q. See the advice man. You're going to need a lot of wood. Let's get this challenge done. Noah sighed and called his sons, strong and tall young men, Japheth, Ham, and the little one, whose given name was Shem. If we have to save the humans, I think we need to save some space. We have to save the animals. I'll take up their case. They need to come, Dad. Can't you see? Don't decide too hasty. We'll take horses to ride and a couple of pigs. Bacon is so tasty. Noah licked his lips and soon agreed. We will be quite fair. We'll take two of every species. Which two? I really don't care. Travel far and wide, my boys. Find me two of every type. I'll stay here and help your mum and sharpen up the knife. Shem, Japheth and their brother Ham travelled over land. The animals were keen to come, hoping for dry land. When at last they got back home, behind them a procession of every animal you could think of. Noah said they did quite well in spite of the recession. There were antelopes and aardvarks, the biggest elephants ever seen, cats and rats and leopards, and everything in between. Two of each they had, of course, hoping they would breed to keep the animal world alive and give all the bacon that they'd need. The ark was built in record time, with a little help from God. Any time they were slacking, he'd give them a mighty prod. When it was finished, they got a home delivery from Tesco, loaded up the animals, and told his family, let's go. They crashed on waves and faltered over high seas. The polar bears got in the fridge and ate the frozen peas. The monkeys were so excited, their behaviour was really bad. Poor Noah lost the plot at times, it was really sad. Let's just say the journey was a nightmare to the end. There were whoops and cheers from everyone when they saw Mount Ararat round a bend. They pulled alongside, stilled the ark, got some change and paid to park. We made it, said Noah. Glory be. I think you'll agree, all thanks to me. They let the animals out of their pens, let them roam free over the fens. Noah smacked his palm on his head. I'm so dim, I'm almost brain dead. We have two of each species ever born, but we forgot Mum's favourite, the bleeding unicorn.
Makes me laugh. That. I think it's really is a good piece. It brought the story of Noah right up to date. That.
Yeah.
Get down to B&Q, get some wood.
Yeah, and we both had a smile on our face from start to finish with that one.
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to cheer everybody up, that. So well done, Marianne. Thanks for sending that through. Now, moving on to the next piece, we've got What the Wind and Rain and Thunder Said to Tom. What a big build-up that one is. So have a listen to this, Steve. See what you think of this one.
What the Wind, Rain, and Thunder Said to Tom. Hear how the sky opens its maw to swallow earth, to claim each blade and beam and rock with its spit. Become your own full sky. Own every damn sound that struts through your ears. Shove notes in your head till they bust out where your eyes supposed to shine. Cast your lean brightness across the world and folk will stare when your hands touch piano. Fan thou breath through each fingertip uncurled and spread upon the upright's 88 pegs. Jangle up its teeth until it can tell our story the way you would tell your own. The way you take darkness and make it move.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling pretty laid back now. That was real nighttime music, that.
It was.
It was a cracking piece by, I forgot to say who it was by Michael R. Justice. Really nice piece. He's been on the show a couple of times, reads poetry for other people as well, and does his own work. So he's a really talented individual.
American guy.
American guy. Yeah, American guy out in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
A really great poet and a great composer and writer. He does his own music as well. So thanks for that. Superb. Now, moving swiftly along, we're going to, we have Cara Johnstad on a regular basis on the programme. She's another talented individual. And she produced a piece called My Oak. And I thought this was really worthy of including this week. Even though we interviewed her last week, I thought it would be good to include this piece from her as well.
You are my oak. You are my palm. You are my willow. You give me roots. You give me words. You give me shelter. You nourish me, you old oak tree, giving me shade. Your leaves wrap themselves around me and whisper, I'm here for you in all the seasons. Trace the veins on me. Now trace the veins on your arms. We are one. Touch my bark. It too has moles and spots. Run your fingers up me, hold me. Now look at your skin. You see? It is beautiful. You are beauty pure. Do you see my branches climb towards me? In storms I sway. Learn from me. I protect you. Come, grab the first branch and sit real still. Little bird is singing. She has built herself a nest high in the top branch. There she can see far. There she can see the world. There she is singing. I gave her a poem last night. Yes, come go to her. She is happy. Soon she'll take wing. Go to her. Go. Today she sings in gratitude. My Oak by Kite Taylor.
Okay, so Kite Taylor was a project that they ran called the Kite Taylor Project, and it was all about poetry and putting it to music that they took around the world. And it's just such a nice piece that I thought would be really worthwhile us playing today.
Very easy to listen to that.
Yeah, very easy. Now, moving from that to an old stayer of ours, Paul Griffiths, who's the Birkenhead poet, and I love Paul with the work that he produces. And he's produced this thing called, this piece called Lucifer Calling. It's typical Paul Griffiths. As you're going to love this. Have a listen to it.
Hello everyone again, it's Paul Griffiths here, also known as the Birkenhead Poet. You can catch me on Facebook. This goes out to Neil and all the guys at Scribble. It's called Lucifer Calling. It's about how I think the devil would reply to God in this day and age, and I hope you enjoy it. Who are you to judge me? What gives you that right? You made me this dark force to foil against your light. You banished me from heaven and you locked your pearly gates. I used to be your right-hand man, now Michael's in my place. Your philosophy is forgiveness. God, you're such a hypocrite. I pleaded I was sorry, but what did I get for it? You cast me from the blue skies down into this hellfire, but I've overcome it now and I've made it my empire. So you can keep your heaven now, it's much more fun in hell. You won't believe the souls who try to get in here as well. But I only take the bad ones, I've such a waiting list. To show there's no hard feelings, I'll let you keep the rest. Why don't you come down and visit me? I still consider us as friends, and I'll even throw a party so that we can make amends. You can bring along your lad Jesus, but for Christ's sakes, forget the crucifix. Just call me on me mobile phone, me number's 666. Now sorry God, I've got to go, I'm a busy man you see. I can never seem to find the time in this short eternity. Thank you everyone, thank you to Scribble too.
That's a cracker,
that. It is, he never fails to impress, does he, Paul?
Yeah, the devil is a scouser.
Definitely, we knew that anyway. Nice one, Paul. Super
well done,
job.
Paul, thanks again.
So now we're going to go over to a guy by the name of Scott Patrick Mitchell, and he's wrote a series of poems called An Ecology of Performance Poetry, and we're going to play the first one of the ecology of the pieces, and we'll play more of them on forthcoming shows. And I thought it was really good, this piece, so have a look.
Respect. Children shouldn't play with dead things. Beware, every stage is haunted. There are boos out there somewhere. They might find you. If they do, it's just ghosts clapping and hey, shit happens. Intentionally anger an audience at least once so you know what doesn't work. Make amends. Honor thy mic. It is what gives a poem life. Know that as it travels cable, that is a bridge, and there might be trolls living beneath it. Listen to them, and in gratitude, leave blessings. Did you know that poet fellow, Robaud, blames us folk for the ghost effect of modern poetry, because every stage is democratic? And as such, every poet gets to come back from beyond, if only for one poem. Raise them. Give voice to the gone, their zombie song of a spectacle as spectacular as a specter. Do not boo them. They boo you. Remember, clapping. Bless space. Open portals. Close all gates.
Well, there you go. That was the first one in the Ecology of Performance Poetry.
Yeah.
So we'll play more of that as the weeks go by.
Do you know how many there are, Neil?
I'm not quite sure, actually. I listened to the first three or four and thought, yeah, we want these on the show.
Yeah.
But there's about 12 or 14 minutes worth of work, so we'll drop them into each of the shows as we go along. Now, we're contacted by a lady by the name of Seema Jayamaran, who's over in India, and she's produced a poem called The Father's Grief. And it's quite touching, this, so I thought it'd be really worth putting it into the programme. Just see what you think to this one, Steve.
A father's grief. As I held you in my arms, sinewy of all, the anchor to hold you secure, eternally, promises a father to his child inscribes, etched in their souls, spelled through the eyes. This crook, most solid and sound eyes sold, forever here the mast with you sheltered. I will stand aground, rooted, no harm dare stray, no wind, no tide, no destiny could compromise, to catch, console when you stumble and stray, a rough caress here, a gruff lullaby for baby whimpers. For you, the harbour of my shoulder I carved, to groom you in a better image, my sails tattered, I unfurled. In the rocking, ceaseless tossing, evil willfully designed, banshee winds, towering seas, a bloodied land left behind. Through waters that had beckoned, the only route to freedom, a passage to future bright, other far-off avenues denied. When the ship's shepherd threw away the steel, swindled again, deceived humanity, the enormity of inky black scape, wheels I held the last fight, your savior me to deliver, with only a prayer. Daddy, be safe, upside down I realized. I felt you slip, miserably surrendered, the nightmare that never should be, all I held dear in that dark moment snatched from me. Desperate souls in black night, in darker depths drowned in treachery, dreams asunder perished on board, all I ever hoped to be. We were tricked, deceit craftily snitched, my life, my bubble, my froth, my frizz, to a destiny never agreed. That moment merged with now and never, all denied, God welcomed his light, earth and humanity left bereft. Yet to this wild beast, all undeserving zombie, men, a reminder to heed, to heal and to apologize. Look, my brother, the treacherous waters did concede a most delicate and tender shell that once held a cherub inside, that which mother of all mothers could not hold. From her dark churning depths she returned from her womb, rocking on thundering waves, so gently a shining pearl, a shore of wet tear-swept golden shore she gave. Now to the arms of human race I forsake, witness my baby is fragile, nary a delicate hair rescue, nor the shoes, nor the clothes worn, in place their angelic blue, for those with heart to weep, lesser beasts to repent, I carry the corpse of my being, weighed down by my empty shoulders. Thank you.
Well, there you go, that was by Seema Jayamaran.
You just wonder whether there's a story there, Neil.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. So we'll see more of her work as time comes on. So we're going to go out now. We're going to play out with a piece by Susan Worrell called Bullies. And this is a great piece because we've been running lots of pieces about bullying on our Facebook page, on the Scribble Radio page. So have a listen to this.
Bullies by Susan Worrell. The bullies took her dignity, a smile that lit the room. Once a happy, normal child, now a soul that's filled with doom. They called her names, pulled her hair, tore her brand new clothes, pushed her till she hit the floor, stamping on her toes. Behind closed doors, she thought was safe in the comfort of her home. The bullies still got to her through the computer and her phone. She withdrew into her own world, locked emotions tight. Her parents had no idea, as her pain she learned to hide. The bullies took her dignity, her desire to carry on. The only way to stop them, she thought, was when she'd gone. One day she sat all alone. Her phone began to ring. Another nasty message. The final straw did bring. Angry and confused, she huddled up and cried. To escape these awful bullies, she thought that she should die. The bullies took her dignity. Now, a price they'll have to pay. As their evil ways came to light, as she took her life that day. She's free of all her suffering, her sorrow and her tears. Now the bullies have no dignity, as they're locked away for years.